And we're going to be, Psalm 89, verse 8. It's going to be a deep, deep message. And I don't know exactly what to do with it. Most of the messages we preach have a three-point practical application or something. It just something to here's the point of it, here's what you're supposed to do, because truth does something, it sets you free. Tonight's message is a little more information in a Bible study, but it's a lot of information and a lot of teaching. I could make a lot of messages out of this, but I feel we've been working on this for a while and just thinking about it, and we're going to teach a lot tonight. So you might want to take some, if you take notes, take some notes, because it's going to be too much to remember, and we're going to give you a lot of stuff. Now, the kids are going to have a little hard time with this message. It's going to be kind of deep. If the kids draw, or if they, as long as they're quiet, if they're sleeping or sitting still, that's fine. They'll listen for the first 15 minutes, and they're not going to, they have a little hard time following this one. That's okay, as long as it's not disturbing anybody and not snoring. And then it goes for you adults too. And so Psalm 89, the snoring part, not the sleep part. And so we have an extra songbook up here to throw if anybody sleeps. And Psalm 89, we're talking about peace and kindness tonight. And not really. We're talking about justice, judgment, and mercy. Judgment, justice, and mercy. Psalm 89 and verse 8. It says, O God of hosts, who is as strong, a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee. Thou rulest the raging of the sea when the waves thereof arise. Thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. Just praising the Lord for who he is and what he's done. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and thy hand is thy right hand. Verse 14 is our focus here. Tonight we'll start. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Just, this is Psalm 89, verse 14. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Judgment, justice, and mercy. Let's go ahead and pray and talk about it. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you for knowing what we need. And I don't know why we as a group need this message. I just trust you and just going to preach what you have laid on my heart. Lord, I pray to be rightly divided. I pray to have attentive hearts and minds, and we think we'd see an application, Lord, and you just apply it to us individually. Give us what we need from this, Lord, and speak to us. May the Holy Spirit just work through this message, miraculous things. I don't know how or what that is, but I just pray you do it somehow and do a great work. Empower us tonight, Lord. We need you, and it's an important night. We don't know if we'll ever be in another church services. We don't know when Jesus is coming. We don't know when it's our time. Lord, we need a great service and the power of the Holy Spirit tonight. So we pray that would be the case, and you give us attentive hearts and minds now in Jesus' name. Amen. A few things here in God's presence. We see justice, judgment, mercy, and truth. Judgment, justice, mercy, and truth. Truth is self-explanatory. We know what the truth is. We know what the truth does. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on that, because the other verses I'm going to go to group those other three together, but not truth. But these are all four things that are in his throne. And the three things we see right here that we're going to focus on is judgment, judgment, and mercy. And truth is also there. And so let me just take you to another verse, Psalm 101. Some other verses here. And these things kind of interact together, and they matter to each other, and they balance each other out. If you don't have one, you get it a balance. You got to have judgment, justice, and mercy. You got to have all three of them. And so Psalm 101, verse 1, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. So he's going to sing about it to the Lord, about judgment and mercy, about those two things. And there they're grouped together again. Then I'm going to go forward to Isaiah. And you don't have to turn to every verse here. This is Isaiah 16. We're going to have a lot of verses all over the Bible. You can turn to them if you'd like, if you can find them fast. If you can't find them fast, don't turn to them all. Just write down the reference and look it up later, because I'll go a bit fast so I can get all this in. Isaiah chapter 16 and verse 5. This is talking about the throne of David, and Jesus sits on that in the millennium. And in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon the throne, upon it in truth, the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hasting righteousness. So here we see mercy, judgment, righteousness. Again, we see these things together. And so we're going to talk about those three things. We're going to show you in the Bible how they go together and why they're grouped together so often in the Bible. Judgment, justice, and mercy. Judgment is discerning right and equality. Judgment, we would say, I'm making a judgment on this. Judgment is making a judgment on something, saying what's equal, what's right, what's fair. Somebody goes out and steals $20 from you, and you say, and you go to court, and the court says you have to pay $20 back, or you have to pay $30, including interest. That's a judgment. Judgment is discerning something. It's discerning what's right, what's good, and it's also saying this is what would make this equal. This is judging something. I'm making a judgment on this, and this is what's right. This is pure. This is good. This is fair. This is equal, and this is good. Justice is basically the enacting of judgment. So you go and you steal a car. And to steal a car, you get the average sentence is 9 months to a year and a half. But you sold a car from a old lady, and that was her whole car, and she got stuck on the side of the highway 80 miles from anybody. And so because of that, where instead of giving you 8 months, the judge says, you know what, we're going to give you 15 months. And that is justice being enacted upon you. That's taking the judgment and now doing justice with it. And justice is locking the guy up and putting him in jail. The judgment says, I think that the fair thing is, I think it would be fair to do longer than that, but they usually don't do it as long. Now, my judgment isn't always equal to our society's. And by the way, you can be over judgmental, and we'll get that a little bit later. For example, Afghanistan, you steal something to cut your hand off. Now, I'm not for stealing, but that's not justice. That's not fair justice. Nor is it justice you steal and they don't do anything. It's an equality. It's equaling things out. And so judgment says, this is my judgment. This is a judgment on something. God has judgment about things. He uses judgment and says, this is what's fair. If you do this, this happens. If you do this good thing, I'm going to reward you this way. And God has judgment. Justice is equaling out that judgment and meeting it out and making something happen with it and making a thing happen. And so now you've got judgment there. These two go together, obviously. Let me take you to Genesis now. Because God wants someone who has both judgment and justice, because they mess up when they're isolated from the other one. If you have judgment without justice, you have a problem. If you have justice without judgment, you have a problem. So God wants both of those things to go together, both judgment and justice. God likes them when they're together, and he has them both together. And he also likes when people have them together. Genesis chapter 18, God speaking of Abraham in verse 19, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they will keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So God likes Abraham, and he knows that he's going to train his family to do judgment and justice. And now we're going to see these two going together hand in hand. Now, I'm not going to take it all the verses I have on this, but let me take it to 2 Samuel. God's going to put judgment and justice together a whole bunch of times, and he likes it when people have them both together. 2 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 15. It said, and David reigned over all Israel, and David executed judgment and justice to all the people. 2 Chronicles. And again, I'm not going to show you all the time when God says, I like it because they had these two things together. I'll just show you enough that you can see it's pretty common. 2 Chronicles chapter 9 and speaking of Solomon here, verse 8. It said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee to set thee on his throne to be king for the Lord thy God, because thy God loved Israel to establish them forever. Therefore, he made thee king over them to do judgment and justice. And then the great prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, 7, and 8. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. When referring to that, God says, when his throne comes, he's going to do justice and judgment on the earth. And that's what will happen, and that's Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7. Now, a couple things here. Justice is meting out judgment. It's punishing or it's rewarding. That's what justice does. And we're going to bring justice upon them. But justice can be good or bad. Justice can be rewarding. Justice can be punishing. And so judgment says this is what is right. And God, of course, has perfect judgment. Justice puts out the punishment. And so justice will happen. And eventually God brings out all the justice. But if you have a person who has justice without judgment, you follow that? They just pour out justice. You have tyranny. You can have a parent, you can watch an abusive parent or an abusive spouse or an abusive person or abusive supervisor. And they, for no reason whatsoever, they just lose it and they start punishing people for no reason. You ever seen that? That's judgment with no justice. I'm sorry, justice with no judgment. Why don't these words start with different letters? That's justice meeting out a punishment, but there's no judgment to it. We call that losing it. Because you just gave justice, but you gave no judgment behind the justice, and that's not right. And so if you're going to have the power of justice, which is a big responsibility, you better have good judgment. They go together. And there's nothing wrong with the justice. Justice is important. Find a society without justice, you will find big problems. Worse than then you go to North Korea. And if you don't clap loud enough when Kim Jong-il or one of his son or any of the people, he's dead now, comes out, you don't clap loud enough, they put you in a field and use you for artillery practice, literally, in North Korea. And so that's tyranny. You have justice with no judgment involved in there. God says they both need to be together. You'll sometimes meet a person who just loves having his authority. And loves they can control things. And loves they can put you in your place. And they will throw out authority and throw out justice just because they can. But without judgment. And God is not like that. But wait a minute. We as a society are very compassionate. We like a whole bunch of judgment, but we don't necessarily like justice. This is a big conflict in parents sometimes. One parent is the justice parent and one parent isn't. And we'll get to that a little bit later, a little more specifically. But if you have judgment without justice, in other words, you discern this is wrong or this shouldn't happen or this is an injustice, but you won't do anything about it, it's called hand-wringing. It's called griping. It's called cowardly onlooking and complaining. The judgment that does not have justice behind it leads to terrible parenting. Would you stop that, Johnny? You shouldn't do that. You know you shouldn't do that. And no justice ever comes to Johnny for doing it. And then she counts to three. One, you better stop it. Two, two and a half, two and three quarters, two and seven eighths, two and 15 sixteenths, two and 99 one hundredths. All right, that's it. And she gets up and immediately Johnny stops because he knows exactly when she's going to come. And then she gets back down in her chair again. And guess what? Judgment came with no justice. And she knew it was wrong. She knew Johnny was doing that and controlling her and pushing her and doing that. And she knew John has a mommy's going to get up detector. And so she does that. And then Johnny does that and pushes mommy. Why? Because she knows mommy has judgment. She knows it's wrong. Mommy's not going to do anything. Our society way too often does this in our justice system. People steal a car. You know they walk without ever spending a day in jail. You can murder an American and just get a good enough lawyer and go free. People go and they'll kill somebody, but they'll plead it down and they'll be out in 15 years. And that is, everybody knows it's wrong, but there's no judgment. There's no punishment. They let their kids get away with everything. The teacher in the school just doesn't want to deal with the discipline issue, so they just let the kids. And they will let the kid, and you know, they let kids go through because none of the teachers want to stop and say, no, you can't read. And you're out of control. And nobody wants to deal with it. And so no justice is ever done. And so the kid graduates not ready for life. Because there's judgment. They know. Teachers know. And not all teachers do it. But that sometimes they just let it go. Sometimes they turn their back. Sometimes we have judgment. We know it's wrong. We know it shouldn't be like that. But we don't do anything about it. God gets real big about that. For example, if you follow in the Old Testament, God gets real big about how you treat orphans and how you treat widows. Because they need justice and judgment, and a lot of people, okay, nobody should be still ripping them off like that, but you know, I'm kind of busy over here, I don't see anything. And they play the Sergeant Schultz thing, I know nothing, and they go on with their life, and they don't ever deal with it, they don't ever make anything just, and they don't put any justice out, and they don't say this is wrong anymore. And there's a lot of dangers in that, if you have judgment without justice. And usually those people are people who stand around and say, you know, that's just terrible, he did that, and she shouldn't do that, and they just stand around saying what shouldn't be, but they never make any difference in anything. Because they don't understand justice requires something to be done. And you might have to be the person, and I'm not saying even in punishment. Or this person did right and they didn't get rewarded for it. And you just gripe and gripe and gripe about the authority, go reward them. Because people who have judgment would have, but justice takes courage. Ask a policeman. You know, often a policeman says, I don't want to see this. Because they don't want to deal with it. They don't want to, because it's a lot of work. Judgment is less work than justice. But I don't want to deal with this thing. And so you do that. And so we have that. We should give justice and judgment to the fatherless and widow. And I have references written down there. Deuteronomy 24, 17 through 19. Why? Because they can't take care of themselves. So the orphans and the widows and people taking advantage of them, they should be somebody to judge for them and give judgment for them because you want to have those things. Now, a few thoughts on judgment here. Number one, and let me take you to Luke. Let you start turning there. Luke chapter 12. All right, have I lost anybody so far? We're still with me? Okay, we understand judgment and justice, two different things. Which one's easier to have, judgment or justice? Judgment's easier. Justice takes work. Judgment's just knowing and discerning. Now, discerning's not always easy. But sometimes you have to make a call. Sometimes you have to make a judgment on things, and you have to do that. Now, we are supposed to, going to Luke chapter 12, and one point on judgment, this is very important. Judgment has jurisdiction. Very important in the whole thing. Judgment has jurisdiction. In other words, you can only judge in certain realms. Certain realms are not your realm to judge. Romans 14 keeps on saying, who are you that judges God's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. God's going to judge him. Every man shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. God's going to judge everybody. It's not your call on this thing. If they think they should eat the meat, let them. If they don't, let them. God's their judge. It's not your jurisdiction. And so it has jurisdiction. Luke chapter 12. In verse 13, and one of the company said unto him, Master, talking to Jesus, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus, he said unto him, who made me a judge or divider over you? And Jesus doesn't make a decision. He just goes and says, don't be covetous. Okay? Jesus would not take the judgment because he wasn't the judge in that area. It wasn't his judgment to make. Oh, now here's the thing. You ready? You don't know how hard that is because you've been trained to do that. You know how you're trained to do that? By television. Television shows you some terrible injustice or some daytime talk show. And boy, he stole her this and he did this to her. And who's going to, and you watch Judge Judy or Judge this or Judge that or whatever. And you got to be the one to speak your mind in that thing. And you got to be the one to tell what the judgment is in that thing. And it's not your jurisdiction. You can't make a judgment in it. And you start condemning somebody, get involved in somebody else's matter, and it's not your jurisdiction. It's not your thing to make the judgment. It's not your area. You know, I might have an opinion on how somebody spanks their child or how they discipline their child. It might drive me crazy. But I'm not going to grab their child and start spanking them. I'm not going to start disciplining their child. Why? It's not my jurisdiction. They're responsible for that child. And there's jurisdiction. I don't go out and take the law into my own hands. I don't go out and say, you know what? I think the law, I think the speed limit should have been 35 here and you're going 40, but you know what? It should be 35. I'm pulling you over and making a citizen's arrest. You know, that I don't have that jurisdiction. And so many times, going upward, authority, and boy, here's where I get myself in trouble here. Many times going upward, people think that they have jurisdiction of judgment with the authorities, and God did not give that to them. Wives do this all the time with their husband. They tell him how to be right with God and what you ought to be doing to lead me, and you ought to lead the home like this. You ought to do that. It's not your jurisdiction to give him judgment. If he asks your opinion, that's fine. But he's accountable to God, and trust me, that's a lot scarier. Although some women at the rolling pin, you know. But it is not your jurisdiction, it is not your situation to judge him. It's not your area of jurisdiction. It's my kids might come to me and say, I think that's the dumbest rule to clean my room before 9 o'clock. My judgment is that's wrong. It's not their jurisdiction. God didn't give them that jurisdiction. It's to them to obey the judgment of the authority over them unless the judgment is absolutely contrary to Scripture. You know what you would really enjoy your job a lot more if you do this, learn to do this? This is so hard for me to do. To say, are you sure you want it done that way? Yes. In my mind, I say, that is really stupid. That's the dumbest way in the world to do that. In my mind, not my mouth, and then go do what they said. But it's going to ruin the company and lose money. That's their jurisdiction. It's not my jurisdiction. I'm not being given judgment for that company. That's his problem. By the way, having judgment, I mean the one who makes judgments, let me tell you, that's overrated. You think that's awesome until you get there. And the guy making judgments, that is not fun, making all the judgments. You know what the greatest thing is? To being the person who says, you know what? It's their problem. It's their problem up there. If you learn to do that, you'll find life and jobs and family a whole bunch more relaxing. Because they have to stand in front of God. They have to stand in front of their supervisor. They have to stand in front of the stockholders. You just swing the hammer. They say, put the board at a 45-degree angle. You say, that's going to get taken apart later because that's not the way to do it. And you tell them, that's not the way you're supposed to. Okay. Thump, 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 thump. Do you have to get personal and angry and furious because he's not doing it, we're not listening to you? No, it's not your jurisdiction. Relax. Let God take care of it. That's not easy, is it? It's not easy, is it? Now, do not say, I'm not going to tell anybody anything. No. They don't mind if you say, I think this is going to fall apart if you do it this way. No problem with that. But don't take, because judgment has jurisdiction. Judgment has jurisdiction. You can walk up and say, Pastor, can I give you an idea for something I got to preach on? No problem, I'll listen to you. You walk up and say, I'm going to tell you, you should not preach on that. Long walk, short pier. It's not your jurisdiction what I preach. It's his jurisdiction. If you want to talk to me, that's fine. I'm just saying, judgment has jurisdiction, and you will not get a wisdom from God with judgment outside your jurisdiction. I want you to understand that's a real important statement. God does not give you wisdom and judgment outside your jurisdiction. God gives the person in the position the judgment they need. And sometimes you'll find that you look at that woman and say, boy, she's raising her kids crazy. But if she's a godly woman and praying, you might find out that though she's unconventional, she's been praying about that thing and God's given her wisdom for her kids. Because that's her jurisdiction, and she's seeking God's wisdom, and she's been given a judgment. So don't be too quick to attack everybody else's judgment unless you have the Bible saying something. And then decide if it's even your jurisdiction to go talk to them, and if they want you to have jurisdiction. But just judgment has jurisdiction, and it's very important, and it's a whole sermon. And if you can get that principle, muse on that for a while. It'll change the way you think of things and get you a whole bunch less frustrated. You just be less frustrated in life. and it's a great thing. And then when God gives you jurisdiction to make judgments, take it as a huge responsibility. You better do it right because God's given you the power of judgment. And seek his judgment. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him how to do it. And by the way, illustrate this. You want to see where this comes into big problems? Mothers-in-law. Not all of them. But you ever seen a mother-in-law who didn't know her jurisdiction? Have you ever seen one that didn't? But that kind of thing, you see, they step out of their jurisdiction. Now, if the girl comes and says, I'm bringing your judgment into my jurisdiction, you follow? Counsel. I'm bringing your judgment into my jurisdiction. What do you think I should do about this? Now you have right to that jurisdiction. Suggestions are fine. However, understand, if somebody that you don't have jurisdiction in, you make a... suggestions are just that. Don't not like them and be angry at them if they don't take your suggestions if you don't have jurisdiction. Did y'all follow all that? Okay, good. I hope. And so we got that. So it has that jurisdiction. Even Jesus here, he never made the judgment. Jesus didn't make the judgment because he didn't have to. One of the things I've learned to do in life is if I have two people I love who have a fight and I don't have to decide who's right and who's lying, I don't. And that's really difficult because we think we have to make a decision, everything, and know the truth and make it. I don't have to make a judgment. I'll just believe in both. Until they put me in that jurisdiction, I just want to think good of both of them. But inquiring minds want to know. Yes, for people who read things at check stands. I don't read things at check stands. Amen. Okay? You don't have to know that. And so you have that. Justice cannot be imposed where there is no judgment. Let me take it to Romans now. Judgment cannot be imposed where there is... Did I say that wrong? Justice cannot be imposed where there is no judgment. I said that wrong again. Let's try it a third time. Third time's a charm. Judgment cannot be imposed where there is no judgment. Did I say it right? I did one more. Fourth time. Justice. I got it. Here we go. Justice cannot be imposed where there is no judgment. Take it to Romans. Don't even take it to Romans. He's going to say it better than me. And so Romans. Let me take it at chapter 5. Whatever I just said is going to stay here. Verse 13. It says, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Then go back to Romans chapter 4. And verse 15. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. You understand, there's no judgment given, there's no law given, so there's no transgression. There's no sin. That's why when a child doesn't know they've sinned, there's no accountability, there's no sin, because there's no law for them. They do not understand the law. There's no judgment for them. They don't understand judgment. So a baby who dies is not under sin. Because there's been no judgment given to them. So justice can't be meted out. And I want to say this very importantly, never punish someone, no matter how foolish it may seem what they did, if they did not know that was wrong. Because there's no reason to do justice on someone when no judgment has been given. I know sometimes there's things naturally we know. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to kill her. Okay, you did. And it's built in. But if you don't know things, and many times, how many of you have ever gotten in trouble and just stood there blinking because you got in trouble and you didn't even know there was a rule about it? And what do? You get angry because you think, how can you punish me when I didn't know? And that's what I want to say. As a leader, make your judgments clear. Make your rules consistent. Even write your rules down and tell them, this is the judgment that I've made. And by the way, if they argue against it and say, I just don't agree, then don't get underneath that authority because that's their judgment. And you're going to be punished according to their judgment. And there's nothing wrong with getting out from authority because you think their judgments are cuckoo. Don't fight the authority, change the authority if you possibly can. Pray for your authority that they'll have good judgment. Pray for your authority that they'll have good judgment. And by the way, Daniel took a country and a nation and an entire kingdom that had no judgment and flipped it upside down and made it right. And so you can do that. You can change authority, but it cannot be imposed. So have clarity in your rules. Don't punish someone if you think they sincerely just didn't know. Even if it seems crazy because their judgment might not think. Sometimes people don't think like we think. You ever sat there and looked at someone and said, no, this is right. And you're going, you are so wrong. But they sincerely think they're right. If you're not the authority, don't attack them. They just have different judgment than you. And everybody knows there's God, and then there's only one other person in the world who's right in everything, and that's me. And if you're not me, you could be wrong. And so you're gonna don't put justice on me for that. And so we understand that we've got to have clarity in our rules. We've got to have clarity in what we expect of people. Our judgment should be clear and consistent. Because you can't make a rule for everything, but if you have a consistent type of judgment in your life, they can kind of follow what you want. Because you have a consistent judgment. And by the way, you've also probably worked for somebody or been around somebody whose judgment you had no idea if they're going to be mad at you or not. They were just totally off the wall. This is a good rule. This is a bad rule. And you're like, what in the world? Why do you think that? Why is this good and this is bad? And you have no idea why. But we need to be consistent in our judgment, and we have that. And so we got to have that. Next, what is mercy? Okay, mercy is not what most people think. I'm going to explain mercy because it has to do with judgment and justice very clearly. Mercy is having judgment, but the merciful one takes the justice. Let me read that again. Mercy is having judgment. You know what's right or wrong. You know what the punishment should be and everything. But the merciful one takes the justice involved. That's mercy. Mercy is never, very rarely is mercy, okay, no punishment is going to be involved. That's not what mercy usually is. All right, let me illustrate this. Jesse, come on up here. I think Jesse can help me. Timmy, come on up here. All right. So, Timmy. Let's see if I got any more money here. All right, so Timmy needs $20. Jesse's got $20. Now he does. And I'm a justice guy. Be careful. And so he goes to him, he borrows the $20. And he goes and spends it on candy and whatever he spends it on. And so he goes off, he spends the money, and he has got his money to stay there, Timmy, and turn around. Now, he ripped him off. He's not going to pay him back. 6 months come along, and Jesse's upset because Timmy took his $20 and never gave it back. Okay? Judgment is he should have given it back his money. Okay? He comes to me. He says, what should I do?
What should I do? He didn't pay me back. He gave him $20, and he never paid me back.
Okay. I don't have, you ready? Mercy cannot be given. The only person, it's a point later, but the only person who can give mercy is the one offended. I can't walk up and say, you know what? Don't worry about it. I forgive you. You ready? I can't do that. I can't give him mercy. Only the one offending can give mercy. But if he is going to, what's the judgment? Is he going to say it's right that he took my money and didn't give it back? No. But the justice, so everything's forgiven and nobody's hurt. Is that true? Think about it. Is everything forgiven and nobody's hurt? No. He lost his $20. So he decided, and so he asked me, I said, I think you just give him mercy and don't ask for money back. Just forgive him and don't worry about it.
You want me to say that?
And you say, okay.
Just forgive.
No. Yeah, forgive. Okay. So I'm telling you to forgive you. You say, I forgive you, Timmy.
Hey, you know what? I know you really need that $20. So I'm not forgiving
you. So, let me say that there for a sec. So, in the mercy, you ready? There was still judgment. He just took the judgment. He said, I'm nice enough that I'm not going to let you take the judgment. I'm not going to come beat you up and take the money. Should we do that just for an illustration? He could say, I want interest. He could say, I want justice here. The justice, the person who gives mercy, the justice goes upon them. They lose out. Okay, you can be seated. Best illustration in history? Jesus on the cross. Amen. Jesus did not eliminate justice or judgment. He said, sin has to be punished. The wages of sin is death. Somebody has to suffer for that. That's going to be punished. I will not. God didn't say, you know what? I'm just going to let everybody's sins be forgiven. No. He said, I'm meting out justice. It has to be. I'm a just God. Justice has to be meted out. And he said, Jesus says, I'll take the judgment. You can put justice on me. And so all the sin, he was judged. And justice was done on Jesus. See, it wasn't just all forgiven. It was paid for. Justice happened on Jesus. God had mercy on us. Jesus had mercy on us by him giving his only begotten son. And so God says, the only person, and so mercy is a person. You say, how does that apply to me? Because when that person wronged you, and you say, but they really did wrong me, have mercy on them. Well, it's not fair. I know. Either they get the judgment, somebody's going to get judgment here. The great people, the godly people, say, I'll take the judgment. I will be wronged and forgive and never say another word and be kind to them now. And that is very difficult, isn't it? Because you're taking justice now for what they did wrong. That's mercy. Mercy is you suffering and you being the one who takes the brunt of what somebody else did wrong and said, I'll take that. That's what mercy does. And that's why God is a God that has judgment, justice, and mercy. The Lord did not remove judgment or justice for sin. Jesus paid for it all. I want to say this. Mercy is not in the place of judgment or justice. Understand that's very important. Mercy is not in the place of judgment and justice. You say, I'm going to have mercy. That's called rule changing. You need to have judgment and justice. Don't change the rules because you're a merciful person. Okay? There's other ways to do it. And there's other ways to deal with things. And so you got to have that. And you say, I feel bad. I just want to spank him. I told him I'm going to spank him, and now I'm not going to spank him. I'm just going to be merciful. They're not getting any. There's no justice meted out. You got to be careful with these things. God is not a God who removes justice and judgment. And so, mercy, and this is real important here. I want you to understand this because this ruins a lot of lives. Mercy cannot be demanded. It is an option of the one offended. Let me take it to Romans 9. Oh, that's so important there. If you have been through this, as soon as I explain it, you'll say, oh, I know what you're talking about, and that is so frustrating. Mercy cannot be demanded or expected. Romans 9, verse 15. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy, this is God speaking, I will have mercy on whom will have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. Guys, I'll do it whoever I want to. When I want to do it, I'll do that. You ready? A lot of people keep doing wrong because they keep expecting mercy. And the people who expect mercy get mad at the person who doesn't give them mercy. It is not mercy if it's expected and demanded. Mercy is a choice to say, I'm going to do this for you. If you demand it of them, you're just making them. If Timmy goes, you need to have mercy on me. It's expected. I don't know how to pay you back. There's no reason I should pay you back. No, there is a reason you pay him back. And you don't borrow money expecting them to have mercy on you. You don't live your life expecting mercy. Mercy is a choice, and God won't always have mercy on you. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son. God disciplines his children. If you think you're going to live a sinful life and God's never going to discipline you, you don't understand the mercy of God. That's not good for you. Mercy is given to be good for somebody. Mercy is not given when it's bad for somebody. There's been a bunch of merciful people who thought they were being merciful, but they were not being merciful. They were ruining a life. Oh, they keep saying they need money, and you keep giving them money, and they keep taking more drugs, and you're not being merciful. You're hurting them. That's not mercy. And you got to be careful that you do not expect mercy in the way you act in life. Do not go and live your family life and get mad at your spouse or your children when they're not merciful to you. No, you're foolish. And they deserve, you deserve even somebody mad at you. And a lot of people live real foolish lives saying, you know what? You should forgive me. They don't have to. If they do, they're really nice. And this is contrary to what our thinking is of Christianity. I'm going to tell you why you should be merciful in a while, but understand, justice is normal. If you steal 20 cars, if the first car that the judge says, you know, we're going to have mercy on you and we're going to let you go, and the person who got the car stolen is going to take the brunt of this, they don't think that way, trust me, or we'd have more justice. So what's the guy do? He goes, steals another car and says, you were merciful to me last time and expects it this time. No. You're going to jail. And we're going to charge you for what I forgave you for last time and put you on probation. In other words, do not live foolishly and wrong and expect God to be merciful to you. The Bible says, as of the Lord's mercies, we're not consumed. Lamentations 3:22. God's already been merciful to you if you're breathing today and alive. God not destroying you for your sin is merciful. Don't expect to go live a foolish life and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God does not let any punishment happen. God lets punishment happen. How many Christians have I seen this? They're so shocked and say, how come God just doesn't forgive me and let this thing go? You did something foolish. He forgave you positionally, but there's still judgment on earth and justice, and God's disciplining you as a child. He's spanking his kid. And said, so don't expect and demand mercy. Don't. And by the way, you might know someone that is somebody you love who lives their life mad at people because they didn't get mercy when they're foolish. And they always go around expecting somebody to forgive them. And they mess around at work and they keep on expecting the boss to let them keep their job. And then they get fired and can't believe it and hate the boss. And they're written up four times beforehand. You got what you deserved. Don't live your life demanding mercy. Live your life where if God gives you judgment, it's good. You say, God, I've done the right thing here. I need rewarded for it. Not, oh God, don't let me get what I deserve. Don't live your life that way. Because you can't demand mercy. And it's very important to understand that. You have the right not to give mercy. Let me start that again. You have the right to not give mercy. But if you do not give mercy, God treats you the same way. Let's turn to Matthew 5. Well, let me take you to James 2. Matthew 5, verse 7. It says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Here's what God does, real simple. Jesse comes back up here. Timmy comes back up here. Jesse comes to me. I'm God. Timmy's over there with the $20 bill. He's not, but he is. And Timmy's over there. And Jesse says, what should I do, God? And he prays about it. What should I do, God?
I gave him $20 and he hasn't paid me back. What should I do?
Forgive him and don't say another word about it. Just treat him like it never happened. And he says, go ahead and you do it. To ask him how his day's going, shake his hand. Okay. I say, wow. Now, 4 months later, he's really offended me. And I'm God. And I think, you know what? I said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know what? You deserve to get whacked for that, but you know what? You're really forgiven. Go on, have a good life. Now, he goes on, I say, forgive him. And he goes over and says, I'm forgiving him. And he gets bitter and mad, and he goes over there and starts beating him up. I just wanted to see this the whole time. And so he starts doing that, and guess what happens? Come back over here. And now all of a sudden he says, oh God, be merciful to me. I messed up. I went and stole the old lady's purse. And he's praying for me to be merciful to him. Guess what I remember? Where's my belt? Want to see me do it? And so go sit down. And so he goes, and he doesn't get mercy. No, take it to James 2. Watch the Bible say this, verse 13. James 2:13. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. So God says, if you don't have mercy and you have judgment without mercy, then you're going to get judgment without mercy. That's what's going to happen to you. And so you got that. And so that's what happens. Now, let me give you some last thoughts. You with me? All right. What comes first, judgment or justice? Judgment. Good. And so anybody, let's see. If you have judgment but you have no justice, what happens? Got to think about it for a sec. Okay. Judgment without justice is tyranny. I'm sorry, I did it backward, didn't I? Do you want to tell you these words? Yes, that's tyranny. If you get judgment without justice, without judgment, you get tyranny. Okay. Is mercy required? No. What does God do if you don't give mercy? Don't get mercy. And you know, I want to say this. I want to give you a testimony. I hate to tell you this. But you're looking at a guy, if you know me, I have the gift of mercy. It's a gift in the Bible. I have the gift of mercy. I literally forget. You can do something terribly to me today. I won't even have a process of forgiving. I'd have a gift of mercy. People can do terrible, terrible things over and over, and I do not have a problem with forgiveness. I have no problem. I've never been bitter since I've been a Christian a single time. A million other things I struggle with, but mercy is not one of them. That's why I've been in jails, and that's why I have so much success with messed up people, because of the mercy I have. You're looking at a guy who God has never punished him according to what he deserves. I've gotten a lot of mercy from God. Thank God. I'd be roasted. Remember that. And so mercy is not required. Can everybody does everybody get judgment for every area? It's jurisdiction. It's jurisdiction. So are you supposed to go and have the judgment for authority? For your authorities? No. God doesn't give you that. But God gives you judgment for your followers. Let me give you a few last thoughts, because here's where we mess up. Because you probably, like all of us, we have a little out of balance. You might be too much justice, not enough judgment, too much mercy, all these things. And all of them come with problems. I'm going to tell you the problems they come with. You can look at yourself and we'll be done. People out of balance with judgment are judgmental. That's deep, isn't it? But that's where the term comes from. You're very judgmental. What they mean by that is you're actually a person who is all justice. Justice. You want to punish everybody. They usually don't do anything. The people, as I said, judgment here first. People out of balance with judgment are judgmental. All they do is judge people. And so what they do is they look down at everybody. Because all they do is think about it, and they don't ever do anything about it usually. And you know what? If you think this is wrong, and this person's bad, and you do just dwell on it, guess what? You get bitter and messed up and angry. Because you know what's right, and you don't go talk to them. Can I tell you? It's okay to talk to people. If you're Pastor Byron, you totally offended me tonight, and you talk to you about this. Fine, come talk to me. If you stew on it, and you have all this judgment that I was wrong, you don't come talk to me. That's what the Bible says. If you have something against your brother, go talk to him right away. Because this justice thing, when you don't do something about it, it just stews into bitterness, and pretty soon it's irreconcilable because it's gone so far. They usually look down on people, and they become Pharisees. And the Pharisees, they wouldn't lift their hand to do one good thing, but they could tell you what everybody else is doing wrong. People who are out of balance with justice are generally abusive and mean. They live in anger with every unpunished deed, and usually live in bitterness, and they feel like they're the executor of everything. They often people do not like people who are always about justice. You ever get someone who watches your speedometer? Because everything's got to be judged, and a bad thing's got to happen, and nothing ever, and it's never, it, it's always... Sometimes you meet someone who does their job, and they are so justice driven that they don't even understand the big picture of the job. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying there, but all you got to do is everything's going to be executed, and if you do wrong, I'm going to turn you in. And it's just like, listen, breathe for a sec. Just don't live your life about judgment. You can't wait for somebody to get caught and somebody to get in trouble. It's not all about that. And they have that. People generally don't like these people and never give their heart to them, so they never have influence. They get frustrated at people who give mercy. The judgment people get very frustrated at people who give mercy. If you're the kind of person who says, you know what, it's not that big a deal, you drive the judgment person crazy. It is a big deal. You understand? They dropped a flower, and somebody could have tripped on that flower, cracked their head open, and died. I mean, just, whoa. Relax. They can't stand that anybody gets mercy. You know they're never going to do right. They're just going to keep on doing. Now, there's a balance. All three are in God's presence. People of mercy, boy, they get themselves in trouble. Strangest thing enough, in your lifestyle and how your life goes, people out of balance with mercy usually live the most messed up lives. They live the most messed up. And I hate to say that. It's a fight that I've had to fight in myself because I love mercy. However, I can be taken advantage of. I can be used and abused. We have had churches where I paid everybody's bills. They were blowing their money, and I was still helping them and doing stuff to my own debt. Merciful people can get themselves in real trouble if you're out of balance with mercy. If you can't step back and say, you know what? You're falling flat on your face. You're going to land in the gutter, and I'm just going to let it happen. I hate it. Kills me, but it's got to happen. It's very hard for some of us to do that. But if you're out of balance and you can't do that, you're really in trouble. Out of balance with mercy, you usually live in moral failures because you're expecting mercy. Did you know drug addicts are the nicest people you'll ever meet? I mean that. If you stereotype drug addicts, go to a bunch of drug addicts and hang around them, they are the nicest people who don't want anything bad to happen to anybody most of the time. It's actually a characteristic of them. They drive me crazy. If I get about a bunch of them, they're talking. They understand nothing about judgment and justice many times. Yeah, I'll be talking to them, and I'll be wherever, treatment center or something. And these aren't ones who are totally transformed and living for God, because they usually, to get really set free, you've got to understand judgment and justice. But what will happen, they'll be griping. Yeah, my old man, I can't believe it, man. He just shuts me out of his life. He wouldn't even let me borrow his car. And me being a person who maybe understands all three parts, I'll say, why wouldn't he let you borrow his car? The rest of them say, man, that ain't right. Why wouldn't he let you borrow a car? Well, you know, last time I borrowed his car, you know, I was when I was using it, and, you know, I got pulled over and they impounded his car. Oh. The rest of them say, it ain't right, man. He shouldn't do that. He should forgive you and let you use it again. I'd let my kids use my car. If they needed a ride, I'd be there for them. You ever hear people talk like this? And you're going, I wouldn't loan you my car again. It got impounded. You know how much impounding costs? And so, and you go, and these people, they expect to get mercy because they would be merciful. And the person who's a merciful person, they're out of balance in that area. They expect everybody else to just forgive them and forgive them, forgive them, forgive them, forgive them. So they keep messing up. And usually they've let down people constantly because they would forgive them, but everybody isn't you. And so merciful people with that out of balance thing usually have moral failures because they expect mercy. They expect God to never let them really suffer. They usually have crumbling lives because mercy doesn't always happen. And then their lives fall apart. And their wife said, I'm sick of it. I'm done with it. I've forgiven him 67 times. I'm done with him. And your pastor, she won't forgive me. Tell her she's supposed to forgive me. I'll try. But she's forgiven you 67 times, and she is human. Well, I forgive her for all the time she messed up. I know, but she's not you. And if you're out of balance in mercy, you think that nothing should happen because mercy should always rule. But whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. They're often used and abused because they do not execute any justice. You've watched them. You've watched the nice girl. Her boyfriend beats her up. I love you, honey. Okay, I forgive you. Beats her up again. Okay, I love you, honey. I forgive you. I love you this time more. Oh, and she'll never let judgment happen, which says, you know, that's great. I forgive you, and I'll forgive you in your own apartment. You know, judgment says, I'm not going to give them my credit card anymore. Judgment says, I'm not giving him cash. He always spends it on alcohol. He goes to the casino with that money. Judgment says, you know, I'm merciful, but you've got to learn. judgment comes in there and it balances it out. Often merciful, this is sad, but merciful people often have the worst kids. The out of balance merciful. Why? Because they just cannot get themselves to let their kids suffer. Don't spank him. You're going to kill him. He's going to die. He didn't mean it. There's always one. God puts a balance in the family. There's a justice and there's the mercy. And one of them lets a kid not be, you know, whipped by a flaming bullwhip. And the other one goes and makes sure he does get whipped, though. Because guess what? If you always have mercy on him, he's going to go to the policeman someday. Can you just forgive me? Just not let it happen. And then he says that to the judge, I know I've violated probation. We can have mercy. Why? Because mom and dad never taught him judgment happens. And you have that out of balance. One more verse is Micah 6:8. He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. All right. I'm so glad Aaron didn't have to sign that message tonight. We got through it. Now, I don't know how that message applies to you. I hope you learned something there. Maybe you see something in yourself you need to fix. Maybe you're out of balance with justice or judgment or mercy. Maybe you just need to fix something in your life. It's a lot of information. But I want you to understand, all three are in God's presence, and all three are necessary to balance each other out. And sometimes there's justice, sometimes there's judgment, sometimes there's mercy. They all got to balance each other out or you become a big mess. Let's make sure we are balanced like God. Follow? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Lord, as we have a whole bunch of Bible and a whole bunch of truth, we see Jesus even not going out of his jurisdiction. It's amazing, Lord. There's so many. Lord, I know I preached 5 sermons tonight, just a little corner out of each one. And Lord, I don't know why you had this sermon tonight, but I do know it's your word. And Father, I pray tonight that it wouldn't return void. You'd help us to be balanced and to have judgment and justice and mercy, not tyranny, not chaos, not frustrated followers, not over mercy, not foolishness expecting mercy. Lord, I pray we'd have the balance that you have. All of us usually get out of kilter in one way or another. Help us to stay right. Help us understand what you had for each one of us tonight. And Lord, I pray that your word would make a difference and our thinking at the very least would be changed on these things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We don't want to